بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 1st of May in the year 2024 الحمد لله we moved on to the 89th night that we're going through the blessed and noble life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that a truce has been declared during the Battle of Siffin. And then I mentioned that there's two paths to this. The authentic path was simply a messenger was sent with a verse of the Quran and Sayyidina Ali amicably called the truce. And that's the Sahih Hadith in Ahmad. The fabricated report says it was a trick. Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu anhu got Muawiyah to, on a wholesale, put the Quran on the spears to stop the advance of his opponents. And this led to a truce. But this is fabricated. There is a report in Tabari in his Tarikh 2-704. Which mentions that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, sensing the imminent victory, he had advised Amir al-Mu'mineen, war is stratagem. Dost now use stratagem to overwhelm them? Sayyidina Ali replied, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, I would never change my religion for this world. Subhanallah. So what happened? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, like I mentioned, the wind was now behind the sails of Amir al-Mu'mineen's forces and they were going to break through. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he actually quoted a hadith without mentioning it is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, war is strategy, meaning you can use strategy, apply it now because we've almost defeated them. And Ali, the mountain of Amman, he goes, no. I would never change my religion for this world. In other words, this can never be. Thus, if Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was not concerned about the precious blood of Muslims, and his only concern was the lowly world, then he would certainly have ignored this messenger sent by his opponents and pressed home his advantage. But our blessed Mawla radiallahu anhu was far, far above this. So look at the purity of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He could have pressed on his advantage. He could have used the hadith which Ibn Abbas wanted him to use. He goes, no. And that shows he wasn't fighting for just victory. He was fighting for the sake of the truth. And he goes, this is a noble thing that they've, you know, offered. And I've accepted it. So turning to Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Hafiz ibn Qutaybah rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Imama wa Siyasa 1-113, it mentions, someone asked Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu, O Amr, our elders have heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Ali radiyallahu, the one who has me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his mawla, then has Ali as his mawla. Is this the truth or is it falsehood? Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu said, it is the truth. May I also add that no one amongst the companions deserves to be praised more than Ali. Subhanallah. Look how beautiful. So the people, they heard this hadith and it's a mutawatir hadith. It was that this happened on the way back from the final pilgrimage, and the Prophet held Ali's hand and he said, whoever has me as his mawla has Ali as his mawla, meaning whoever loves, venerates me, listens to me should do the same for my noble cousin. So they asked Amr, he goes, is this true? So don't forget, Amr was opposing Ali and he said, of course it's true. But then he added something, and this shows how much he loved Ali. He goes, I may also humbly add that out of all of the companions, nobody deserves to be praised more than Ali. In other words, he has a very special place with Allah Ta'ala and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So note, on both sides, you can see absolute purity. They were doing it for their thought was the right course of action to take. So alas, this aged blazing torchbearer of Islam, radiallahu, has been specifically targeted by the accursed Rawafid. So thus far, how many times have they lied about? So they've said he joined Muawiyah's side because he wanted authority, slandering him immediately. They said that he was the one who had the genius plan of putting the Qurans on spears to turn an imminent defeat into a stalemate, another lie. So they're constantly targeting him, but they don't stop. It is related that during this battle of Siffin, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh, had intercepted Sayyidina Amr and threw him down. Then Amr radiallahu anh, in desperation, he had uncovered his awrah, which made Ali turn away from him. So is this recorded anywhere? So let's look. So Hafiz Suhaili, rahmatullah alayh, in his Rawd al-Unuf 5-462, he records it. What does it mention? The people said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, the man has escaped. Ali replied, radiyallahu, do you know who that was? They said, no. He replied, he was Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu. He showed me his awrah and reminded me of the ties of kinship. Thus, I turned my face away from him. So this is the report. Other reports, they add things. So they start saying that Amr came face to face with Ali and he realized that he's going to die because nobody could face Ali on the battlefield. So what Amr ibn al-As did, he started stripping. He became completely naked. So Ali radiallahu anhu turned away from him. And he goes, he managed to escape being killed by this ploy. So this report is in the books. I've given a reference. But each report has a chain. This report contains the narrator, Nasr ibn Muzahim al-Kufi, who was an extreme Rafidi, an extreme Shia. So what have the scholars mentioned about this person in the chain? Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullah alayh in his Al-Mizan al-I'tidal 4-253, he said about him, Nasr ibn Muzahim al-Kufi is an extreme Rafidi, he is rejected. Abu Khaytama said, he is a liar. Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani said, rahmatullah alayh, in his Lisan al-Mizan 6-157, Al-Ajli said, he is an extreme Rafidi, he is not trustworthy at all. So this is one person in the chain. So just him makes the hadith fabricated. He's not a Rafidi, Rafidi is a Shia. Making the hadith flimsy, you know, if you want to be very generous. But if you have an extreme Rafidi, it's absolutely fake. Because these are utter liars, they call Kadhabs. So he's in the chain. So then the question is posed, then why did Hafiz Suhaili record it? The response is, history records everything. You don't take rulings from history. So they put the standards down. They go, we'll just relay everything. And then scholars will, you know, they will help the layman in terms of authenticating it. The problem is, we've reached an all-time low. We don't know what is what now. So yes, we say that report is in the books. But it's a complete fabrication. And why is it? And then you go through the chain. Because it didn't just come from the heavens, the report. There's a chain. So are these people reliable? And there's one person in the chain. He's like Mickey Mouse, right? Nasr ibn Muzahim al-Kufi. Complete liar. He's invented it. Thus, through these shaitans, this story became widely known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from all such filth and abomination. Ameen. So that's the chain. And that's the narrative. But even logically, does it make sense? Amr ibn al-As, he's 92, 93. He wants to be martyred. So why is he afraid of getting martyred? And who better than with Ali? So that's the first thing goes to your head. Second, he's an old man. Why would Ali target an old man? You know, surely he'd, you know, out of respect, turn away from him. So all of this is just logical. But no, guess what? Ali's targeting old men. And the old man's, you know, start doing scripture, right? Astaghfirullah, innit? Imagine, right? And then Ali turns away thinking, what the, right? So, and then some fruitcakes, they praise this. They go, look at Amr's genius. He did it again. Because what did he do? He goes, he escaped death. And he goes, so are you praising him for that? And he goes, no, what? He goes, think about it. He goes, you idiot, it's a fake report. What are you giving tafsir on it for? So again, no, the only reason I'm mentioning it is people are targeting him. All the way through this, you know, dark period of our history, he's been targeted. They're lying about him. And sadly, it's entered the books of the Ahlul Sunnah. So you've got to be very careful. So Sheikh Ali Muhammad As-Sallabi, he rightly said in his work, The Biography of Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiallahu anh, volume 2, page 260 to one of the English translations, quote, by way of these stories of the Rafizis, these lies spread beyond the horizon and were adopted by the Shiite historians who came after them, as well as some historians of the Ahlus Sunnah who succumbed to the Rafidi lies. So some of the historians, they weren't muhaddiths. So they didn't, you know, appreciate that the science of the chain of narration must be preserved. So they actually included it without any commentary. So again, the Shaykh was saying this is why this is a serious problem in our history. But like I said, if you actually go through the lives of the companions, before you get to these moments in the dark period of our history, you can straight away sense this a fabrication, because you know you got a profile of that sahab. If you don't know who it is, maybe they're right. Is there anything else we need to be alerted to? Yes. There's a report in Tabarani in his Kabir, and he mentions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he looked at Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As, and he made the following dua. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repel them into every strife and then shove them into hell. Repel them into every strife and then shove them into hell. Somebody goes, this is in Tabarani. Yeah. And he goes, well, that's it then. Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As, they're doomed, because the Prophet made a dua, put them into fitna, and after the fitna, throw them into hell. So then you say, right, where is it? In Tabarani, mashallah. Who's in the chain? He has a chain. This is a fabrication. Why? For within his chain is the great liar amongst the Rafidis, Isa ibn Sawada al-Nakhai. So there's another big Dajjal. Right? And who are they? Rafidis. So they're just lying now about the Prophet. And look at the disaster in that. You lie about the Prophet, you reserve your seat in the fire. They're not bothered. The Prophet made this dua against Muawiyah and Amr. So now another report. This is recorded in Ahmad, Bazar and Abu Ya'la. It mentions similar, but it mentions the report without the names of Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As, radiyallahu anhum. But this also goes to the Rafidis, Yazid ibn Abi Yazid and his Sheikh Suleiman ibn Amr ibn al-Ahwas, who is unknown. So let's look at this. In another report, this is in Ahmad, Bazar and Abu Ya'la, this is the dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at two men and he said, O my Lord, repel them into every strife and shove them into hell. So does it mention the names? No. So then you think, well then how have you assumed that he's talking about Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As? So there is a report without the names. But even that has Rafidis in it. Without the names. Imam Suyuti, rahmatullah alayh, he cites a third chain. in his La'ali 1-427, also recorded in Ibn Adi in his Al-Kamil, and Ibn Al-Qani in his Mu'jam Al-Sahaba, which names the two men as the hypocrites, Muawiyah ibn Rafi and Amr ibn Rufa'a lampooning Hamza at Uhud. So what's happened? Imam Suyuti, he was an imam of the hadith, he said there's another report and the names are correct. Muawiyah and Amr, those names are correct. But it's not Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan. And it's not Amr ibn al-As. Who are they? Muawiyah ibn Rafi and Amr ibn Rufa'a. So the first names are the same, but they're not the same people. These two were hypocrites. And they were speaking ill of Hamza at Uhud. So when Hamza, obviously he got martyred in that battle, they were speaking ill of him. So look what these shaitans have done. They looked at the names. They go, hang on a minute. Muawiyah and Amr. Let's pull a fast one, right? So they just basically took the names and they've changed the father's names. They go, Muawiyah ibn Abu Sufyan and Amr ibn al-As. So Imam Suyuti said, this is more likely. So now, I'm just touching upon the chain, the science of hadith here. It's not for us, we're just laymen on the street. How easily can you tumsuk history? Imagine, if I didn't give you these fine details, I just quote in references, Tabarani, brother, do you believe in Tabarani? Of course I do, brother. He's one of the great muhaddiths, puts hands on chest and all, right? Then he goes, oh, do you believe that? 100%, okay, right? Tabarani in his Kabir, the Prophet looked at Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As and he made this dua. So he's expecting a really good dua. He said, what dua did he make? Oh Allah, repel them into every fitna, then shove them into hell. Next minute, guy's face goes, you know, pale. You believe in Tabarani, you know? Oh, I don't believe in that one. He doesn't know what's going on, Bachara. And then he goes, oh, he's playing games with you, brother. Question, why did Imam Tabarani record it? And the response is, this is the time of nearing the Salaf. They had great knowledge of the science. They wanted to alert you to these lies. But these shaitans are using the same reports, giving you the impression that they were endorsing it. Astaghfirullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us from such filthy lies and distortions of the magnificent torchbearers of Islam. Ameen. So now think about it. I've given you a handful of fabrications. Who have these shaitans targeted? Sayyidina Muawiyah and Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As. And isn't it easy to target them when in history they went against Amir al-Mu'mineen? Very easy. So you get the person emotional, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali, mashallah, Allahu Akbar. Did you know they opposed him? And they go, yeah, well, I don't know about that one. He goes, not only that, brother. Then they start quoting fabrications. They were always backstabbing him, trying to harm him. These were hypocrites. And the response is, you've not only slandered, you've slandered people of Firdaus. Imagine. Astaghfirullah. So returning to reality, it would be safe to say that the last great fruit of Sayyidina Ammar radiallahu anhu's magnificent life led to peace between the two warring Muslim factions. Subhanallah, a most fitting end to such an awesome and unblemished life. Look how beautiful that is. Ammar ibn Yasir, 93 years old, he got martyred. How did he crown his life with? What did he crown? He crowned his life by bringing the Muslims peace. Look how beautiful, right? It makes sense that that would happen. That Allah would honor him with that. So what happened? In Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf, 15-303, with a Sahih chain of transmission, Yazid ibn al-Asam, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, when the peace deal was agreed between Ali and Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, Ali went out and walked amongst the slain of his party. And he said, they are in paradise. Then he went to the slain of Muawiyah's party, radiallahu anhu, and said, they are also in paradise. He then paused. He thereupon said, now, indeed, judgment will be passed between me and Muawiyah. Radiallahu anhu. Look how beautiful. So what happened? After the dust settles, there's martyrs. Ali didn't say, my men are martyred. Those men, I don't know what's happened to them. He humbly said, they are in paradise as well, inshallah. They are martyred. So what was he saying? Their cause was just. You can't be a martyr and your cause is unjust. That can't happen. So what was Ali testifying to? A Muawiyah's cause is just. So those who died with his understanding, they will go to paradise. Just like ours will go to paradise. But then, this is the interesting bit. He then started thinking about himself and Muawiyah. And what did he say? Now judgment is left. That's all that's left. Because Allah Ta'ala will decide the matter. So even he didn't even say, I'm right, Muawiyah is wrong. He goes, he judged that both of us were right. But ultimately Allah Ta'ala is the best judge and he will decide. He used to say of the martyrs, they are all believers. This is in Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh Dimishq 1-329. SubhanAllah. So these are very important reports. Why? Because there was no love. You know, they loved each other. They were grieving when they were dying on both sides. But it was a matter of principle. It was all to do with their understanding of the deen. There was nothing personal. Think about that. You know, how can you kill somebody and say there's nothing personal? But that's the level of iman of the companions. They're willing to kill because they believe what they're doing was right. When, you know, we're doing it for the sake of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now just to add this. Entitled, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu's victory divinely assured. One of the amazing realities of this encounter is that in reality, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu was fighting a losing battle. So how do we know that? It was testified to by his right-hand man, Abdullah ibn Abbas. So think about this. Amir al-Mu'mineen, ultimate truth is with him, radiyallahu anhu. You're on his side, you're on upon the haq. But then somebody says, mashallah, you've ticked all the boxes, but I'd like to just mention one thing to you. What? You're going to lose. What would you think? What are you talking about? Who said we're going to lose? The right-hand man of Ali, Abdullah ibn Abbas. So how did he understand this? How did he come to that conclusion? So in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, 3-38, Hafiz ibn Kathir, he was mentioning this verse. So in Surah Al-Isra, Surah 17, verse 33, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he says, Audhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. وَلَا تَقْتُلُ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَمَنْ قُتِلَ مَظْلُومًا فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانٌ فَلَا يُسْرِفْ فِي الْقَتْلِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مَنْصُورًا. And whoever is killed oppressively, we have given his guardian authority, but let him not exceed the limits in the matter of taking life. Verily he, I the guardian, will be helped. I by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the verse. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say? That if somebody is killed oppressively, unjustly, with intention, hostility, not by mistake, we, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've given his guardian, his wali, authority. He must not exceed the limits in the matter of taking life, meaning he's given authority, but he must not go overboard. Verily, the guardian will be helped. The wali, who I've given authority to, I will help them. So this is the verse. Ibn Kathir then said, Rahmatullah alayhi, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, the scholar of this ummah, understood from the generality of this sacred verse to refer to the leadership of Sayyidina Muawiyah, and that he would take sovereignty as he was Sayyidina Uthman's heir, and Sayyidina Uthman was killed oppressively. Stop in the quote. So Abdullah ibn Abbas, he commented upon this verse. He said, this verse was a clear sign that Hazrat Muawiyah who was the heir, the one who Allah Ta'ala appointed as the Wali of Uthman, he will eventually take authority because he's going to be helped by Allah Ta'ala's promised. Then it mentions Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was demanding that Ali hand over Uthman's killers so that he may take vengeance from them, as he was also an Umayyad. Ali, on the other hand, radiallahu anhu, was asking Muawiyah for respite until he established himself, and then he would hand them over, at the same time asking Muawiyah to surrender Sham to him. However, Muawiyah refused until Ali surrendered those who killed Uthman. He also refused to take the Pledge of Allegiance to Ali, both he and the people of Syria. After some contention, he established himself and leadership was passed over to him, just as Abdullah ibn Abbas said, as derived from the holy verse. This indeed is a matter of amazement, said Ibn Kathir. He goes, now we'd say, Ajib. He goes, Ajib. And he goes, just as Allah Ta'ala promised, he helped Muawiyah. So, what does that actually tell you? That actually tells you that Ali knew he can't win, but he had to take the path because that was the perfect path. Look how strange that is. Sometimes you take the perfect path, in a worldly sense, you will suffer a bit, but not in the next, obviously. And Ali is a classic example of that. And his right hand man told him that. He goes, basically, we can't win. They will defeat us, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And this is why, you know, the reports, I'll mention it tomorrow, echo this holy verse of the Quran. So all I mentioned today was basically indicating the purity of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali did not push his advantage forward, because he knew that this would not be correct, even though Ibn Abbas encouraged him. And then I mentioned Amr ibn al-As's praise of Ali, showing that they were all pure men. And then I mentioned some other rubbish of history, which indicated that Amr was, you know, doing things on the battlefield which could hardly be expected of a righteous Muslim, never mind a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then I mentioned the fabricated reports which apparently show that Muawiyah and Amr were both munafiqs. But of course, this is nothing but a lie. And the scholars detect it. And then I mentioned the holy verse which indicated that Muawiyah was destined victory. Are there any questions? Subhana bihamdi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa atubu ilayhi rajiun anjim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr insanu lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr sadaqallahu alazim.